Welcome to The Den. We are a podcast from Cubs Den. You can find us on the ChicagoNow.com website. I'm your host, Miles Phelps. You can find me on Twitter at mphelps11. You can also find Cubs Den on Twitter at Cubs Den. And with me today, my good buddy, Jared Willis. He's at Jay Willis. That's at J-W-I-L-L-Y-S on Twitter. He writes your sporting news and Forbes. And Jared, it's been a while, but this is our 40th episode in the Cubs Den podcast world.
40? You should have told me that before. 40. I would have brought up some champagne from the cellar.
Yeah, see, I forgot. That's okay. My fault.
Well, we'll save that for episode 50.
Yeah, save it for 50. Right. Yeah. 40 is a lot, but I think 50 sounds more like a champagne number.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll pick us out something good for episode 50.
Yeah, please do. Start to get that thing on ice.
Yeah, so I'll start chilling it now and have it ready.
Perfect. How you been?
I've been good. I don't feel like it quite as eventful, like life event wise as you have, but yeah, I've been good.
Yeah, last time I think it was well beyond well before the Ross news for the Cubs. So we're definitely going to get into that because we haven't even talked since then. But yeah, I got married since the last time we were recording, I do believe. So that was a big event. You also had a big event, though. Weed is now legal in your state of Illinois.
This is true.
Congratulations to you.
Yeah. If we can get the dispensaries to stop selling out here so quickly, then I could partake. But not yet.
That's what I heard. I heard like the demand is just through the roof right now. I never was super into weed, like even in high school, but when it was like illegal. But when we moved out to Seattle, I'll tell you, one of the best things to do is taking the dog to, they have this thing called Sniff Spot where you can basically like rent someone's backyard for an hour and play fetch and stuff. And so I've been taking our dog to do that. But one of the coolest things is just being able to like take a joint and just like smoke a joint while you're playing fetch with your dog. And it's just the most peaceful thing ever. So I want that for you, Jared, at some point, if that's something you're interested in, just that tranquility.
I know. I think, you know, that when I'll definitely look into it when things settle down a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. Cause like I literally have done it one time in my life.
Yeah.
And not just because I just never did. It wasn't really, you know, a thing for me. But yeah, now that it's legal here, I'm going to have to see what all the fuss is about.
Yeah. Check it out. You know, party on, man. And if it's not for you, it's not for you.
Well, there's only one way to know.
But at least you have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, good luck to you on that. I look forward to hearing back the results for Jared's experience there. All right. Let's talk about some baseball. Before you and I started recording this, we were talking about how, like, yeah, we haven't recorded in a while, but also there really wasn't a lot to talk about. So, and even now, like, there's some good topics that we want to touch on. Definitely the Ross news. I want to get your thoughts on some of these KB trade rumors and then, like, what to expect going into this next year, because I have no idea. So I wanted to talk to you about that as well. But the biggest news that we should start with, I guess, is David Ross. He's now the Cubs' new manager. After the Cubs parted ways with Joe Maddon, you and I talked a little bit about the possibility of him, but like I think where we left it was that you and I were both a little bit nervous of him being a player so recently with the same team and trying to navigate those waters. But now that it's official, where do you land on that hiring?
Well, I think all things considered, I like it. I think it's a good hire. I mean, really, it boils down to like there's no way to really know how this is going to shake out until he starts doing it, and it's going to be a while into the season before I feel like we really know what we're dealing with, both from him but from the team as well, because the roster hasn't really changed much, but just the feel of the organization is different, and so I think that's going to take some time for us to tell. And it's going to be hard, though, not to want to like rush to conclusions based on the first couple of weeks of games, you know, when the season finally starts. But I think, you know, all things considered, I think they did pretty well. I'll be I will be really curious, though, just to kind of, as the season progresses, to see how he's managing just those interactions with a couple of the guys, like we've talked about before, where they were teammates in the past, and just dealing with that dynamic, you know, as things go.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was the right hire for where the Cubs are at right now. I just get nervous that, you know, they're not putting him in the best situation to win. And like, what do you think fans are going to do if the roster stays somewhat intact to what we have today? And we're recording this on January 9th. So if the roster stays somewhat intact like it is now, there's not a lot of movement, maybe there's not a lot of trades, and the Cubs struggle, like are fans going to turn on Ross, or are they smart enough to know that there was some other factors at work? Like, how do you see that narrative playing out when he has to talk with the media?
I mean, there will be some fans that will turn on Ross no matter what. But I think my impression is that in general, the fan base has, I think their biggest target is the Ricketts family right now. I think that's going to be where, you know, people really direct their ire if things go badly, because it just, you know, it kind of feels like for two off seasons now, they've just kind of sat things out. And then especially with the way last year finished, you know, kind of looking at that and saying, okay, we're going to continue to stand pat. All we're going to talk about is cutting payroll. So I think fans are wise to that. I think that they know that that's probably where the problem with the organization lies, is just that just the way they've handled a lot of this stuff has not been good. I think as an organization, they made some good changes, you know, kind of behind the scenes, but yeah, just having the roster just stay put is just not something that, I mean, it's not sitting well now, and it's definitely not going to sit well if this team doesn't perform when the season starts in a couple months. So yeah, I think Ross will avoid most of the criticism, or at least I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. I just don't want to see people turn on him it's so easy to forget, like when you're in the moment and things are bad or things are good, you can totally disregard everything that's happened before that. So I just hope that doesn't happen with him, because he was just such a cool story. And the city embraced him so quickly, which I thought was really, really cool. So I hope that stays intact. Okay, so I have a kind of a two-part question here for you. The first one is just a yes or no question. So do you think in 2020, if nothing else changes on this roster, the Cubs are a playoff team?
Yeah, I think they could be. Just by virtue of the fact that I think their division is... trying to think how to put this, but like, there's no clear front runner to me. I think there's a ton of variables in the NL Central, and things could go in a lot of different ways. And so just based on that, like, this still is a very talented roster with a lot of really good players on it. And it's possible that just the change in philosophy, the change in attitude with David Ross kind of kicks things into a different gear that they haven't been able to find the last couple of seasons. You know, maybe coming back after the embarrassment of not making the postseason at all makes a difference. So I think, as you know, believe it or not, as currently constructed, I think it's a playoff team. How well they would fare against the best teams in the National League, that's a different question. But yeah, I would say yes.
Not a one word answer, but we'll allow it, I guess, for the purpose of this game. But I'm surprised to hear you say that, I guess, because like I am so down, and maybe it's just a little bit of like recency bias from what we hear of like the narrative of no money and kind of the Ricketts being a little bit more involved in how the Cubs go about spending. And so I think maybe it's just a little bit tainted from that. But like you're way more optimistic than I thought you were going to be, and you're way more optimistic than I am.
I think the thing to remember in this, and I'm saying this at risk of like sounding like a Ricketts apologist, but for as much as they've talked about no money and cutting spending, I think we do have to remember that like they still have one of the highest payrolls in baseball. So they're not operating like the Pirates. There is that, but yeah,
I think that's the frustration though, is that like we like if you look at the other teams in the division, Chicago is the only major market, right? Like Milwaukee's not a major market, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, like go down the Cincinnati, like all those cities are like second tier cities. And so like it, you have to compare it to the division, but at the same time, like they're the Cubs. And I think where at least I get a little bit frustrated is that like I see the Yankees are kind of in their own class, and they have been since like the early 90s, but the Dodgers are somewhere that you can point to and say like, how have the Dodgers been able to have continued success, continued to spend money as they have, but still have this like crazy farm system? Yes, they don't have a World Series title to their name, and maybe that's all that matters when you start to point at trophies, but it just feels like, yes, we've spent money, but like, what have we gotten for that? I sound so spoiled. Like, if you told me 10 years ago that the Cubs would have a World Series, but that you would be complaining, you know, two, three years after because of X, Y, and Z, I would have told you to punch me in the face. But here we are. I don't know, man.
I think a lot of that comes from, you look at this Cubs team and I think you see what's possible. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from. And it's not like, because I know what you mean when, you know, ask any Cubs fan back in the day about, you know, if I were to tell you there was a World Series and all of that, you know, that's to me, that's a totally different thing, just because, I mean, you look at this roster, look at this organization and what's possible. And like you pointed out, it's a major market team. It's the, you know, one of only three, well, maybe four markets where there's more than one team. You know, so Chicago supports two major league teams, and the Cubs, no matter all the excitement with the White Sox right now, the Cubs still, you know, overshadow them almost no matter what. And so you see what's possible, and just it feels like they are missing, have missed a major opportunity to do more than just, yay, we won a World Series, the whole curse of the goat thing is over. Because I think we all sensed that there was a chance to make this into a dynasty, to be more than just, hooray, one World Series. And it feels like they're letting that slip away.
Yeah, that's well said. That's exactly my feeling. It's just feels like there was a little bit more there than what we got. Cause I mean, this is the downslope of what these guys are looking at, you know, like that we're going to talk about some of these KB rumors, but he hasn't been himself since that MVP year. And he hasn't really been that guy that you could point to and say, hey, he's going to carry you through, you know, the dredges of those summer schedule months. And he just, I don't know, something seems different. So that's exactly my feeling though, about, you know, there's something that we just left on the table. But going back to my original question. Okay. So, yes, you know, there's an outside chance that the Cubs could make the playoffs. You know, you're optimistic about it, which is good to hear. So that being said, if we're looking at a playoff, you know, I guess you're kind of looking at it maybe as like a toss up right now, cause the division is so poor.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a toss up and division, when the division is like a stretch goal, what does success look like for David Ross if playoffs maybe aren't in the picture, like coming down and like say at the All-Star break, the Cubs aren't really in the race anymore, or injuries have come up? Like, what does success look like for a first time manager that's in David Ross's unique situation?
Yeah, I like that question. I think I would put it this way. Success for him is going to look like keeping this team at a place where they feel like they don't need to be sellers at the trade deadline. Does that make sense?
That does. Yeah. That's, so, I think that's a good, it worries me a little bit, you know, like if I would rather them be sellers this year in particular, if there is a 50-50 chance of maybe making the playoffs,
yeah,
then I would, if versus like making that push or like getting ourselves into a situation where maybe we're limiting our flexibility in 3 years. I feel like 2021 is a really good year to kind of maybe make a run. And I would be worried that next year wouldn't be the right time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. But I think looking at 2020 in isolation as like just purely, this is his first year as the manager. What do I expect in order to say that first year went well? I think that's kind of my baseline bar, is that you're good enough that like, it's not obvious that you're going to be looking to trade. They may do it anyway, just like you've said, for the sake of the bigger picture. But sure. I think, yeah, just in the silo of the 2020 season, that's kind of how I look at it.
Cool. Well, that's a good thing to point to. That's like a tangible thing you can look at. It's very simple to see if you read some of the other reports. So that's something that I like. Good answer. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that I alluded to already with Chris Bryant. So there's been a lot of talk about, you know, do you trade Chris Bryant right now? Do you not trade him? And if you're confused on the reason why, it all has to do with Chris Bryant's service time, his past performance, what he's going to be probably asking for after winning an MVP, after winning a World Series. His agent is Scott Boras. So there's a lot of things that are going to be in the way of the Cubs re-signing him. Now, their question is, like, outside of the financial part of it, like, do you even want to put yourself in that situation where you're attaching yourself to a guy for, like, probably he's probably going to be asking for like 10 years, right? I mean, it's like, do you want to attach yourself to a guy for 7 to 10 years that might already be on the downslope of his career, might have already reached that peak, and maybe has some other things like externally, like outside of the batter's box, that are going to prevent him from reaching that full potential? Yeah. There's a lot of things that are floating around. So, you know, laying that out for you and just take it wherever you want. But what's your thoughts on those Chris Bryant conversations?
Well, I think it makes sense that it's like you've just illustrated. It makes sense that it's something that they're pursuing, or at least, you know, listening on. I question how serious they are about trading him at this point, given what they're asking.
What's some of the things that you've heard of people that have asked, just in a report that you read, or I don't know if you've talked to anybody internally?
No, not really. Just kind of what you read about like other teams' reactions to what their proposed return is. And that mm-hmm. just sounds like a team that's not really operating in like, we really want to trade this guy mode. So I think a lot of it just hinges on this grievance thing. Until you know how that's going to turn out, on both sides of the equation, I don't know that you can really come up with a trade that makes, you know, that either team's going to feel good about, unless you know, do you have them for one more year or do you have them for two more years? Just today, I think it was, we saw that it's expected that Chris Bryant's going to lose his appeal. So the Cubs would, it hasn't been officially announced, nothing official, just some reported rumors and expectation. So that may kind of sweeten the pot for opposing teams. Like, okay, so if you trade for this guy, now you know, like you'll have him for 2 years and not just one. Excuse me, sorry. So then what the Cubs are asking for might be more realistic. So I think that's the thing that's been holding it up. I think that's what they decide to do with him has a lot to say. So we'll say a lot about their plans for the future of the organization, because I think there's definitely a case to be made for they could use him as a trade piece, not to like initiate a rebuild, but just sort of like, I guess like a soft rebuild, sort of, you know, not like a full.
Would that be like an Arenado trade?
Yeah, kind of like.
Or would it be lower than that? Or would it be more of like guys that like top level prospects that might be ready in 2 years?
That's what I'm thinking, is more like that. And then you go with a season or two of David Bodie as your third baseman or something like that, which is still going to, you know, it's not nearly the same, but he's.
Get ready for a lot of balls between the wickets. So, you got David Bode starting at first.
Or something else. You know, like there's other possibilities, but you know what I mean? Like somebody like that takes over as your third baseman,
right?
For a season or two, and then you go into like, you know, whatever comes next. But that's kind of what I see, is this is sort of soft rebuild, like trade one of your best trade pieces to get some like really close to major league ready prospects. And then, like you've said, maybe 2021, 2022, you're in a much better position to really be competitive again.
So let's say you got $100 to lay down. Are you like, set the odds for Chris Bryant getting traded or not? Where do we think? Is it like 10% he's staying, 10% going? Like where do you kind of put that at?
I think it's low to me. I have a hard time. For a couple reasons. Like I said just a couple minutes ago, I think their asking price is pretty high. And I don't see it changing much. And also I just, this current leadership group with the Cubs is just, they've not really made a move like this. Like, this is huge. I mean, you trade Chris Bryant, you're talking about rookie of the year, NL MVP, you know, World Series champion, all that kind of stuff. Like, this is a big deal to trade a guy like this. And I just don't know that they're ever going to be able to get a return that they are truly satisfied with. So I think the odds are still fairly low. So I would say, like, if you want a number, I would say like 30%. Like, I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be surprised.
So that's significant. Okay, so 30% chance of getting traded. Then where do you put his odds at showing up to CubsCon this year?
He is still on the list of players.
I know he's on the list, but is he going to show up?
I don't think so.
There's no way, right?
No, because, you know, just the hassle of, like, if the grievance stuff hasn't been, either way, even if it has been announced, like, he doesn't want to deal with, you know, a bunch of dorks like me asking him about it. And then the fan panel stuff where, you know, they're going to ask him about trade rumors and, like,
so many prepared statements.
Yeah. And yes.
Do you remember that guy? Yes. That one
the
year?
Prepared statement, the hat lady, our good friend Crawley at the front of every line. God bless him. The guy is like a wizard with that. But you know, I not to like digress, but I feel like he's a guy that would go up there and ask like some tough questions. I kind of appreciate that about him. But yeah, I don't expect that he's going to be there. He's on the list, but there will be something, or maybe he shows up Friday night and just does the like walk out on the stage and wave to everybody, and then poof, he's gone. But there's
which is kind of weird, right? Like, he's your franchise player.
Well,
yeah. You know, like, I mean, up to this point, he has been. You know, he's the guy that he's on the bill.
Right.
You know, he's on all the commercials. He's got the endorsements. So I'm trying to find a compare. It'd be like, like Drew Brees not showing up for like a Saints, you know, thing. You know, because you're like, that's who you're paying money to go see is the star, and it just kind of sucks for the fans. Like, I if I'm Chris Bryant, I'm not going. Like, I'm not faulting him for not going, but it's just a weird situation.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, ultimately, if the Cubs convention is for the fans, as media, we get this like really tiny sliver of time on Friday to talk to players and stuff like that. And then really all the rest of it is very fan centric, which is what it should be. And so if you think about it that way, then he should be there because, you know, these are your fans. These are the people, you know, the reason you are, part of the reason why you are who you are is because of these people. But at the same time, yeah, I would be shocking to me if he was there.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. And maybe Javi has surpassed him as like the franchise player, but he's still won an MVP, you know, and that's kind of still recent. So I still think that point I made stands. Let's go to somebody else that's been on some of these rumors, and that is Wilson Contreras. That I find it odd that he has come up in some of these rumors just with knowing who's behind him on the depth chart from a catching perspective. Like, he's very clearly the best catcher in the division. He's got to be a top 10 catcher in baseball, at least offensively. I know defensively, you know, you can nitpick at his framing abilities, but what are your thoughts on Willie maybe being on the move?
That kind of feels like that sort of died off. I think that was earlier in the off season, maybe around winter meetings time. You know, I think that was something that was being floated out there, but you haven't heard much about that lately. I think the only way it works is if they're going to trade him with the intention of getting some sort of a veteran to go with Caratini, because for as good as Caratini is and all that he brings, he shouldn't be your starting catcher on a competitive team. And I don't like saying that because it sounds like I'm insulting Caratini, and that's not what I mean to do. But I would put Contreras being traded even lower likelihood than Chris Bryant. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It just feels like the Chris Bryant thing would come first and then Willie would come second. You know, like, they'd have to make almost consecutive like yeah. moves in order for everything to work out and to not be in like a full rebuild, you know, like you said, kind of rebuilding on the fly. I feel it'd be like you somehow obtain Arenado with Willie and you know, maybe a prospect or two, and then you're sending KB somewhere else for maybe an outfielder yeah. or something, and then you're re-signing Castellano, and then maybe you're okay. But I don't know, like that's just, there's a lot of moving parts in there, and it feels like Willie was just kind of a cog in the wheel, and maybe it's just something that's not
yeah that's kind of my anymore. Impression of it is I don't think it's on the table at this point. Not to say that he can't be back in that position later on, and he could be another one, you know, come July, if depending on how things are going, and you know, contending teams are like, you know, who doesn't want a catcher who can hit like he does. So yeah, we'll see. But at this point, yeah, I think that's pretty low likelihood.
I would hate to have Wilson Contreras traded. It's one of the guys that I just love. And I feel like like everybody feels that way about Willie. Like you can get frustrated with him at times, but he's like baseball's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
That sort of mentality and that fire, you know, just like, he doesn't care. He hates everybody in their team. He just wants to win. He's going to do everything he can. He gets a little over aggressive at times, but you're going to love him for it. And I've always said that if they traded Javi at some point too, I just like wouldn't be a good fan anymore. Like if you're already taking Willie from me, and then you take Javi at some point.
I think
whatever. Just
if for all the goodwill that the Ricketts family has just totally scorched their way through since winning the World Series, if they wanted to restore some of that, announce a Javi Baez extension, and Cubs fans are going to love you a lot more, because it kind of returned to something we were talking about a few minutes ago. I think if you were to ask who the face of the Cubs is right now, it's Javi Baez, and I don't think it's even all that close.
Do you think he's the face of the Cubs, or do you think he's the Cubs' best player? Because I would argue that the face of the Cubs might be Anthony Rizzo.
I think he's both, because from a fan's perspective, I mean, number one, yeah, he's the best player on the team. I'd put him up there as one of the best players in baseball, period. But from a fan's perspective, like, there, you know, you go to a game to see what Javi's going to do.
Right.
Like there's stuff that he does that no matter how the game turns out, you still will remember, yeah, but that was the day that Javi did this. Like, even I'm thinking about the playoff game against the Dodgers a few years ago when, you know, the Cubs got smoked in that series, but there's still that iconic image of Javi kind of waving his finger at Yasiel Puig at second base. Like, you have stuff like that where, you know, you remember those things forever, really. I think he's the face of the team, especially among the fans. Maybe, I don't know, endorsement wise, that sort of thing, it's a little different, but I bet if you were a poll Cubs fans, that would be my prediction, is it's Baez.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting poll. Cause again, like, you have to set parameters on that face of the franchise thing. Like it's who's the best player. And I don't think that there's no argument on that. But when I think about, like, if a reporter was going to go and get a quote from somebody on the team for a thing that happened, you know, like somebody has a baby or an announcement was made about a thing and they wanted to get someone's opinion on it, I feel like they're going to go to John Lester and Anthony Rizzo. And it could be like a race thing, you know, maybe it's just like the inherent racism that's still in our society, or like, I don't know, like maybe that's just where my brain goes.
Well, and some of that too, I think, is accessibility, just like given
that could be
my
too.
Experience, like, you know, as a reporter, there are some players, and Javi's one of them, who you just don't see in the clubhouse very much, and so you don't hear from him in that way just because he's not there. And so you know, and the reason why he's not there is I think, you know, I'm kind of speculating, but I think some of it is just his routine pregame. He's not around the clubhouse during that time, but also I don't think he loves talking about himself a whole lot, at least in that setting. So I think he kind of avoids it just because it makes him uncomfortable. Cause for all of the, like, and I know we're kind of going off onto something else here, but, for all the braggadociousness that we see, I don't think he's cocky. And so being interviewed and talking about himself, I think makes him a little uncomfortable. So I think he avoids it. So
it's weird. Like, I feel like that's a thing with these Latin players. Like they've played this game a very specific way where it's flashy, it's fun. Like they have all these skills that some of these American like Javi's tagging ability is absolutely crazy. Yasiel Puig's arm, like all these guys have come up playing this certain style. And it feels like in the American culture, we will then take whatever that style is. And then we label that as cocky. And then we assume that that translates over to the person's personality. And like you just said with Javi, that's not the transition. That's not the A to B to C. He's very, very, I don't want to say cocky, just he's very confident in his game. Yeah. He knows what his body can do. And that's not the same thing as like, I'm the best guy, doesn't stink sort of thing.
I think that's, you know, with him, I think that's a lot of what it is. And so some of the reason why you don't hear from him, you know, in those kinds of ways, like you're not going to get a Javi quote when something goes down with the team just because he's not there. And he's tough to write about just because he's tough to get to. Like, you know, last year when I wanted to do a piece on Javi and Wilson, you know, getting a few minutes to talk to Javi was tough just because he just doesn't seem to do it a whole lot. He's an interesting guy, and I don't want to sidetrack us too much with this.
No, you're fine. But, so here's a follow-up question actually that's related. So does the face of the franchise have to be accessible?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Like, are there faces of franchises that aren't readily accessible to the media or like in modern day? Like, I don't want to go back to like Larry Bird's not a good, Wilt Chamberlain, like those aren't people, like they didn't really like the media, so I don't want to count them. But like in modern, in the Twitter age.
No, I think, to me, the face of the franchise boils down to as simple as this. Like, when you think of the Cubs, who's the player you think of? And I would say most people would say Javi Baez. All, you know, remove everything else, just like almost like word association. Just say Chicago Cubs, who's the player that comes to your mind? I would bet most fans, Cubs fans, but also just baseball fans would say Javi. But, you know, and like selfishly, I would love if all players were more accessible, but, you know, that's just not the way things work now. To me, when I say face of the franchise, that's what I kind of boil it down to, is if you played like the word association game, who's the player you think of?
I like that. I really do think mine would be Rizzo.
Okay.
Like, well,
okay.
Now he was the first guy that came to my head. But I would be interested to hear that. And it's such a hard, like you couldn't do that online. Like, you just have to like walk up to somebody and be like, who do you think of? And you're going to get people that aren't playing. So I guess you'd have to like set the parameters of current roster. Who you think of.
I think that's the way you have to frame it. And I wish there was a way to kind of try to test that out just because I'd be curious because maybe I'm wrong. That's just my thought. But of the current roster, it would be interesting if there was a way to get people's thoughts on that.
We'll figure out a way. We'll do it. I'll take a little poll and a couple of text threads and we'll see what we come back with.
Okay.
So we talked about a little bit about CubsCon. Are you going to be there?
I am going to be there. I'll be there Friday and tentatively planning to go Saturday as well. Last year I got snowed out, so did not go on Saturday. Just cause they got a snowstorm Friday night and I didn't feel like trying to battle through that to get back downtown, but yeah, I'll be there. Doing kind of the usual thing. So I'm looking forward to it just because I think it's going to be a different kind of a vibe. And I'm curious to see what it's going to be like.
Yeah. Like in years, I haven't been since I think 2015 was the last time I went. Ass and Russell was still celebrated. That's how I kind of, it's like before and after Addison. So it was before he was an asshole. So I think that was the last time I was there and the vibe was just like crazy. They hadn't won a World Series yet. They were coming off a playoff appearance and everybody was just going nuts and just so excited. They came down like a runway one by one, but I haven't been since then. So do you feel like the vibe is going to be a little bit more subdued?
I think it will be. Because I was there, the convention that was right after the World Series. And I mean, that was like, it was a madhouse. It was crazy. Because I mean, we were still practically like cleaning up from the World Series parade at that point. And so, but even by last year when I went, it was definitely a little more subdued even then, because that was coming off of the, you know, lost the wild card game to the Rockies. So yeah, I think because really, like, as a fan, what a reason do you have to be excited? What's generating your excitement right now? And honestly, like, I'm kind of looking forward to the fan panels just because I want to hear what they have to say. I want to hear what kind of questions they ask and how, you know, whatever Cubs representatives are there, how they respond to it. It's disappointing to see that the Ricketts are kind of ducking their panel for the second year in a row.
Such bullshit. Like, cause you know that the questions are going to be there about, you know, first of all, they're super PAC, you know, whatever your political leanings are, but like they have a really invested venture into their brother who is a governor of Nebraska. And so they have a huge super PAC for the Republican Party. So there'd be questions about that, like where money is being diverted from a baseball perspective, not a political issue. I'm just saying from like where right. funds are being diverted. There's been the questions around how they've handled this entire offseason. And it just feels like there's been a lot of bait and switch with how they were going to run it. So I just think it's such a complete cop out for them to not be available, especially because you know Tom, and you see him every single baseball game. So it's not a question of availability. Like, this is their job. You are the owner. You should be there.
Yeah. And I think just especially given that you set the precedent in the past of you went to the convention and you did a panel and you were perfectly happy to do it in 2016 and 2017 when things were really good and everybody loved you. You know, I was there when – you know, it was the convention right after the World Series, and it was just, let's regale you with these stories of wonderful it was to watch this team win the World Series. But now, like, yeah, I'm with you. I think you don't get to just duck it now and like they did a year ago, don't use this bogus excuse of like, well, we're boring. That's not true at all.
No, that's like, just you would not have true. Plenty of people in line.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I want to give credit to like Bruce Miles wrote something really like thoughtful, basically saying that, you know, what we've just said is that, you know, it isn't right and they should be there and they should, you know, they should face the fans. But yeah, no, it's BS. I'm with you.
It just feels like you said that, first of all, it's the precedent thing, you know, like they wanted to talk about all of the good things that they've been doing and the successes that they've been having. But the year after you don't make the playoffs, you're not. And I know that they weren't available last year either, but it's not like they had some grand success then either. You know, there were still a lot of questions and the exit was not very graceful and kind of limped towards a finish line. So I feel like it's kind of the same thing where they've ducked it both years, and it would be such an easy thing to repair some of the ill will that is now happening, because the narrative, whether or not this is true, but what a lot of Cubs fans believe, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them that I talk to have this thought, and it might not be even remotely true, but that this is the perception, is that they got their World Series and now it's time to collect. Now it's time to make money off what they've already done. And so when they were doing all of the selling in the beginning to try to get season ticket holders to renew, to try to get different sponsorship deals to help them build their facility down in Mesa, then to help facilitate all of the rebuildings around Wrigley Field and all these awesome things that they've been doing to revitalize the neighborhood, all great stuff. But now the moment that the team actually fails and the fans want answers about, like, it's the reason why I hate being a Bulls fan. Like, it's the same exact thing now, and it feels like we're going into the dark ages again. And I just don't want that to be the case. You know, the Cubs at one point were like the bright shining light in the Chicago sports atmosphere. And now it's just like when the White Sox have a better off season than the Bears had regular season. Like we got problems in this.
Yes, right, things now feel upside down. And I think you look at what they've done, not just with like the team on the field, but look at how much Wrigley Field itself has changed. And the area around Wrigley Field has changed. And I have openly questioned whether or not it's good. Just because I think so much of the character of that place is gone. Because it's become about how can we make as much money from all of this as possible? Not just like the product on the field, but the whole experience has become like, you know, like it's just the environment is so much different. It doesn't feel like the same place anymore. And I think the thing that really tipped the scales for me was this past year when they opened the Catalina Club right beneath the press box. And they eliminated, there was that big open space with some concessions there, and it opened out onto a patio in the back, and it was all about an area for fans to like mingle and talk and move around and that sort of thing.
Gorgeous view of the skyline.
Yeah, get a good view of this. You know, if the game is lousy, you can go out there on that patio and just look at the city, have a few drinks, whatever. And now there's this tiny, narrow little walkway, and you know, with the Catalina Club sitting there above you. I absolutely hate it. I think it's one of the most disgusting things they've ever done. And that to me is, if you want to point to anything that they've done, I would say it's that. You took away a place that was for every fan, it was accessible to every fan, and you replaced it with this very private. The club is so private that like if I tried to go in there with my Baseball Writers Association pass, they would turn me around. I say that because I know they did that to Paul Sullivan. He tried to go in there just to see what it was like, and they told him no, he couldn't be in there. It makes me a little bit sick to my stomach when I think about it. But to get it back to the point you were making, like some of these fans who feel that way, I think that's very justified. Look around at what's happened and tell me that this hasn't become about converting that goodwill and that World Series championship into as much money as possible in all of these other ways. And then kind of, yeah, who cares after this?
It's again, even if you go on the stage and lie for, you know, 30 minutes, it'd be such an easy and fast way. You have every single beat reporter there. You have every fan that's passionate and crazy about the Cubs there. They're doing web streaming everywhere. So why not take the stage and just dance around some of these questions? Even if you're not answering questions directly, you're going to buy more will from the fans of you just showing up versus just ducking it completely.
It makes a world of difference. Because think about your relation, you know, your interactions with anybody. If someone is frustrated with you, upset with you, angry with you, and you listen to them and say something as simple as, I hear you, I understand, I can see why you're frustrated, we're working hard on this, we're doing our best. Something as simple as that, I think, would make a world of difference. Like, let people feel like they're heard, like their voices are valued. Because what you're doing now is telling them, we don't care what you think. We don't care to hear from you.
This is the John Paxson complaint that I have of just hear me. Like, you can think I'm an asshole, but like, just pretend, man. Like, just pretend like you're listening and that you care about like where our money is going. Because at the end of the day, like, that's like, I know the corporate sponsorships bring in a lot of money, but like the gate revenue is where it's at for you guys. And if like the Cubs are going to see how many people don't renew this year and be a little bit concerned, I bet. I could guarantee that maybe the pocketbook's starting to loosen up a little bit because, you know, in the past, it's been a no-brainer for people to renew.
Yeah.
You know, like once Theo came aboard and Lester got signed, people were like, just check the button. Yeah. Like, take my money. Here's the credit card. No problem. Now,
and even when they were the lovable losers, there was just all the like, you know, there's so much more charm back then. And I know I sound like an old man talking about like days of yesteryear.
You can get off my lawn over here.
But even like, you know, think about how this team felt 12, 13, 15 years ago, like even as recently as that, like it just, to me, the feel around the team has changed so much that if you just go back to being mediocre, you can't ride the like, but we're the Cubs and it's Wrigley Field. Like, I don't think that's going to do it for people anymore.
No, like every Cubs fan that's been to a game at Wrigley Field from Chicago to Joliet has a picture with Tom fucking Ricketts on their Facebook somewhere. I guarantee it. Like every single fan in the Midwest. So I think you got time to just show up to this Cubs convention of the team that you own. I don't know. Yep. That's frustrating. That's just a frustrating thing. But so will you be going to specific panels? Do you want to make that public? Like what's your plan of attack?
I'll be there Friday for like the media time and then the sort of their opening ceremonies. And then I like going to Lizzie McNeil's to, you know, imbibe a little bit afterward. That's always my favorite part. But then Saturday, it's just kind of like, I kind of play it by ear and, you know, but like as media there, I don't really play any role there. I'm just kind of there. So, you know, cause that's, that's, it's about the fans and it's, you know, it's for them. The one that I won't miss is the kids panel where the kids ask the questions. You know, oh my gosh. That's my favorite thing. It's like, I love that one so much. So, I will guarantee that I will at least be at that one.
The best panel that I ever saw was, are Kathy and Judy still a thing in WGN?
I honestly,
do you remember that show at all?
Vaguely, but I'm
okay. I'm a WGN kid. Like I grew up watching like or listening to like all of the shows around there because my grandma always had WGN on. And then when we moved back to Illinois when I was in like sixth grade, like we always had WGN on. And so Kathy and Judy, I think, was like the, like they weren't the drive time spot, but like they were the one after that and be like after John Williams or something like that. But they were just these two ladies in like their 50s and they would just like talk about random stuff. And you know, usually it's about like home repair or you know, just random stuff. And they were hilarious. So anyway, they did this panel one year with Cubs players and it was billed as like, you know, these two women don't watch baseball. Like they're not about like sports or anything. So this is going to be whatever questions that you have, like just come and ask them and we'll figure it out. And so somebody asked about manscaping or something. And it was like, how much manscaping is too much manscaping? And the show got completely off the rails because Kathy and Judy like just kept this going. They wanted to know more about like what this manscaping was and like what it like what's the reason behind doing this manscaping and like all I even forget like who the Cubs players. I think it was like the Marlon Byrd year. Yeah. So maybe he was up on the stage and it was just funny because like all the Cubs players are laughing and you got these two 50-year-old ladies talking about manscaping on the stage. It's supposed to be about baseball and like,
oh my
gosh. Just like the whole experience was just absolutely that's crazy. Beautiful. So that's the last panel but that's the funniest panel that I've been a part of outside of Prepared Statement Guy.
Yeah.
But it'll be a good time for you, man. Lizzie McNeil's is always a fun time. I love hanging out with all the beat reporters that go there. The first time I ever met John Aguilo was at Lizzie McNeil's. So it always holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah. And I always like to, have a shot in his honor when I'm there. So yeah.
Yes. Please have one for me. I was going to try to get down there this year, but, we're actually doing a golf trip with my dad going down to Scottsdale. Oh, nice. So we'll be able to make it this time around. So have an extra drink for your buddy Miles.
Will do for sure.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on today. I'm glad we were able to talk for the first time in 2020, episode 40. Oh my God. Time's going by so fast. You got anything to plug?
Look for me at the Cubs convention and I'll have some stuff kind of off of that, depending on, you know, what players have to say. And so keep an eye out for that stuff for Cubs fans. And then I'm going to Sox Fest the week after that. So it's the following weekend. So, you know, if people are curious about that too, I'll have some stuff from there. But then, you know, this is kind of the real quiet time for me. It's just kind of about get us to March so the season starts so I can get back to the ballpark. But yeah, look for me at CubsCon next weekend.
Right on. We'll make sure to follow Jared at Jay Willis, at JWLLYS. See where he's going to be at CubsCon. Thanks for coming on, man. It was great talking with you. Hopefully we can do one before opening day.
For sure. Let's do this again soon.
For sure. All right, guys, make sure to follow at Cupson on Twitter. You can follow me at mphelps11. Go to the Chicago Now website and search for Cubsden. You can find all the articles on minor league guys. Michael does a great job of updating us every day on some of the minor league events. So if that's your thing, check out that. Check out Jared's work, and we'll catch you next time.